Right now, happy to welcome back to our program a good friend, Stan Heller, promoting Enduring Peace Administrator, producer of the Struggle TV program broadcast on cable channels across the Northeast and beyond, and chair of New Haven's Middle East Crisis Committee. Stan, glad you could be with us tonight. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
So we have an important event coming up tomorrow evening, and I wanted to get the word out. I think we've certainly had messages on the air here, and I'm sure people through social media may be aware of it, but in case they're not, and just to remind them, Stan, tell us what's going on tomorrow night with Timothy Snyder, author of On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. That's happening tomorrow evening. But tell us...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Tell us what's going on.
Promoting Enduring Peace has a yearly lecture in honor of a past member named Mark Schaefer. And this year we're very excited that Timothy Snyder is going to deliver it. He's a major league professor, very big, very important, brilliant guy, speaks 5 languages, reads 10, big expert in Middle European history, particularly the 30s and 40s, the age of tyranny and mass murder and so on. And after the presidential election, he became absolutely alarmed. And he wrote a Facebook post. And, he sensed something terrible was about to happen because of that election. And he wrote down 20 lessons, things that he suggested for citizens in the face of what happened in the election. And I'm sure to his surprise, it was immediately... shared 18,000 times. And it went viral after a while. And then he decided to make a book out of it, and he's done book tours, and he's been on all kinds of media, and recently started a YouTube channel. So he's trying to get the word out, and we're very pleased to have him tomorrow night, Tuesday the 28th in New Haven. It's at a parish house, at the United Church of the Green Parish House, and the address is 323 Temple Street. And the doors open at 6:30, and the event will start at 7.
And it's free and open to the public, which is a good incentive there. But to
sure.
see, now the topic of his talk, as I think you mentioned, is the grave threats to our democracy and democracy here in the U.S., but democracy around the world. And in the press release you shared with me, there was mention of a lot of troubling signs across the globe in terms of the rise of the reactionary right. And you can go through some of those for our listeners, Stan, who may not be focused so much on what's going on in other parts of the world, apart from their concerns about what's going on here in the U.S. with Donald Trump.
Sure. I mean, the worst is a fascist march in Poland. I mean, completely unexpected. You know, Poland, I mean, to me, it took part in a very small way, helping Solidarity. This is like in 1980 against the Stalinist communist government of Poland. You had this real liberation force, Lech Walesa, and so on. Now they have a very right-wing government, but that's not even good enough. And they have 60,000 people marching in the streets, people calling for things like Islamic Holocaust, get the Jews out. I mean, my God, in Poland, the Nazis got the Jews out, calling for a white Europe. I mean, all this horrible stuff. And it's not just Poland. I mean, Germany, the third largest political party in Germany is a neo-Nazi party. It's got 100 seats in the parliament. Austria has a rightist government in their election. A new governmental coalition is going to take power, and one of the parties is a party that used to welcome Nazis right in the party. Now they, that's the past, But absolutely awful that that's happening in, in Austria. Czechoslovakia has a Trump-like character. You know, we could go on. I mean, the Philippines with this president, Duterte, who claims he personally kills people or killed people. Saudi Arabia, a member of the ruling dynasty, now grabbing everything in his own hands. You know, we can talk. But a lot of the nasty stuff going on. But on the other hand, there's resistance, like the Magnificent Women's March at the start of this year. And, you know, so there are signs that people would fight back in various ways. So I don't know exactly which things he's going to get into, but certainly I would hope he will talk more than just about the U.S. He also writes about environmental things. You know, he's written, I don't know, 8 or 9 books on his own. And one of them, before On Tyranny, he wrote a book called Black Earth. And it was about Hitler's ecological thinking. Now, this sounds really insane. And it is, in a sense. But Hitler had ideas. Excuse me. He had ideas. He thought, you know, land is limited, food is limited, so there's always going to be war. War of, in his view, the races, and that's all there is. And you want your race to be on top. And any other idea like humanitarianism, Christianity, law, this was a vile idea, an evil idea, and of course. He blamed it all on the Jews. But this ecological panic is what Snyder called it. You know, he says that's not something that is only in the past. And right now, because of the you know, industrialism has done to the climate, we're approaching an era when things will get really serious. Mm. And, you know, a Hitler type with this view of, you know, we have to have the race, our race, our nation, or whatever, be on top. Yeah. He could go someplace.
And we see examples of that in the Middle East, an area you focus on regularly, where we have Palestinians trying to get sources of fresh water to survive, and those sources of fresh water in jeopardy in part because of climate change, but more upfront is the fact that Israel is impinging on water sources for their own population. So we see these resource wars going on, and those kinds of conflicts, as our own Pentagon has said in many reports and research papers, that those resource wars are going to get more violent and more serious as time goes on due to the effects of climate change, as you just said.
Right. There's even a film called Age of Consequences, which came out this year or last year. It's a little unclear. Timothy Snyder is interviewed, and it's talking about the impacts of climate change and resource scarcity on war. And, you know, it's obvious. I mean, there was some effect in Syria because there had been real droughts. And rather than take care of his people, Assad moved towards neoliberalism and those kind of capitalist so-called reforms, which made things a lot worse and, you know, caused real problems. I mean, it's not the main problem there, but it's certainly something that hurt. And, you know, things are rough. So this, we're very eager to hear what Timothy Snyder has to say about all this.
So again, that's tomorrow night, November 28th, at 7 p.m. at the United Church Parish House, the Great Hall there at 323 Temple Street in New Haven, free and open to the public. Timothy Snyder, one of America's leading historians, professor of history at Yale University, and author of the very popular book since the election of Donald Trump, titled On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. So I hope a lot of listeners who may not have known about that event will take advantage and attend. And Stan, maybe There's a couple other things I'd like to talk with you about tonight, and we'll certainly we'll recap the information about the Mark Schaefer lecture before we sign off. But you have an important article and a book I want to mention. The article titled "The House Resolution on Yemen is a Stinker," that was published in New Politics, and your new book. Tell us about that first. The uprising we need, over 80 hard-hitting articles, which is a compilation, I believe, of articles you've written for various publications in recent years.
Right. It's 80 or so articles that I've got published in the New Haven Register, Hartford Current, a couple letters in the New York Times, lots of different websites, and so on. Now, some of them go back a few years, but I try to put in an introduction for each one, and then and in some cases an afterwards, kind of to, you know, reflect was this article any good or not? You know, what, you know, knowing now what we know, what do we say about the article? So I have that in there to try to make it all relevant, and then have also five new articles. The key one is The Uprising We Need, which basically says we got to get back into the streets and, you know, use the pressure of the masses, so to speak, to get things done, because politics is, I don't know, a sewer? How do we describe it? It's just not going anywhere. Any of the parties, I mean, certainly not the corporate parties, but even the independents, I don't even know if it's possible in the United States to get anywhere in an electoral sense, especially in the time we have left. And that sounds weird. But what that refers to is going back to climate change. I believe it was last year. I listened to an ecologist. Last name is Howarth. His first name is absent from my head for the moment. It'll come back. But at any rate, he was talking about methane and the effects of carbon dioxide and so on. And he says, by his calculation and others, we go above the 1.5 degree limit in just 13 years. And at that point, you get tipping points where you really can't fix things. So what I'm saying is we need some kind of popular uprising to get people out in the streets to demand the kind of changes to the economy that'll make human civilization possible.
So well, maybe the Republicans have read that article. They're trying to motivate people to get out in the streets with all manner of their dismantling, you know, just basic protections for health, medical care, health insurance, you know, predatory capitalism from Wall Street. They're dismantling everything, and or they're trying to, at any rate. It's a very frightening and serious time we're living in, and I guess this I haven't read this particular article, but I'd like to get a hold of this book, as I'm sure many of our listeners would also stand. And it's titled The Uprising We Need, over 80 hard-hitting articles. And where can they find it?
One place, Amazon. Go to Amazon.com, do a search, yep. And it's there.
You're part of the Bezos empire now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, today, well, there's no connection to me, but Time magazine bought by the Koch brothers?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I mean, I was just hearing about that.
Time had been doing some pretty good stuff lately, last couple of years. I can imagine what it's going to be like in the next couple of years. You mentioned an article, now this is not in the book, but something on New Politics about the new Yemen bill. And there had been efforts in Congress by senators, congressmen, to try to do something to stop the U.S. participation in the war against Yemen. And the last one, the last effort almost succeeded. It was an attempt to try to knock down a bill that was going to solve $500 million worth of precision munition weapons. And there was almost 50 votes to stop it. It didn't succeed. And then the very start of this month, there was an even more serious event, we thought, or effort, in which Khanna, a congressman from California, was going to try to use the War Powers Act. And this is something that was used to try to moderate the imperial presidency, to reassert Congress's constitutional authority to declare war. And Khanna said, all right, we're going to have a vote now on U.S. participation in this war against Yemen. It's never been authorized by Congress, and we're heavy into this thing. We help the Saudis bomb. We refuel their jet bombers. We help in the blockades. We sell them tens of billions of weapons. You know, why are we doing this? Well, the whole thing got sabotaged. Not only the Republican leadership, the Intercept magazine website says Steny Hoyer of Maryland, a Democratic leader, also went along with sabotaging this bill. So they gutted the bill. They sent it to committee to Neverland and put in another bill and guaranteed this bill an hour's worth of discussion. And the bill was only a sense of the House bill, so it wasn't binding in any way, and it gets an hour of discussion. And by chance I heard about the discussion, listened to it on C-SPAN.
Yeah,
I wish it was ESPN, and it was just awful because I'm reading the bill at the same time, and it could have been written by the Saudi government. It was so bad, it had their entire rationale for what was going on. And the bill, the whereases, the resolved, didn't require anything of Saudi Arabia, didn't call for any stoppage of weapons to Saudi Arabia, and only made demands on Iran, which is really tangential to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a
pretty disgraceful, a stinker of a bill. And it passes 360 to 30, including some of the most reactionary people in Congress. So you can imagine that bill.
You know, one of the things that links in with this particular article that you wrote, the House resolution on Yemen is a stinker. Again, they can find that on the New Politics webpage. But there was some recent commentary about 60 Minutes in a story they recently did on the crisis in Yemen, where they really expunged any mention of the U.S. role that you mentioned earlier, Stan, and that we've talked about on this show recently. And the fact is that the United States is not only complicit with Saudi Arabia in the constant bombardment and the deaths of tens of thousands of civilians there, but they're not complicit. They are key to continuing this fight. But 60 Minutes did a piece, and I confess I did not see the piece. I read the criticism of it, but apparently they've almost, you would have to say, very deliberately just neglected or purposefully deleted any mention of the United States military role in this war, despite the fact that they talked about the crisis, the cholera epidemic, the starvation, the blockade of the border for medical supplies and food to come into the country. They describe, but they didn't really talk about the United States and what the U.S. has been doing there all these last 2.5 years.
Not only Trump, but of course Obama, too.
Yes.
If I could jump, because I had another piece printed in the New Haven Register yesterday, and it was about Korea. I mean, it's sort of on the back burner. I mean, a month ago, everybody was all afraid about it. Nothing really has improved. It's just sort of simmering. And I had heard, the reason I wrote the article a couple of weeks earlier, I heard a radio program, and Tom Ashbrook, sorry, one of your competitors, he had a number of experts on, and one was named Alan Robach, and he only spoke for a short time, but wow, what he said, he wanted to talk about nuclear winter. Now, for the older folks, maybe, you know, you've heard about this.
Sure.
The idea or the conclusion that Carl Sagan and others, they said, hey, you know, what would be the smoke effects of a full-scale nuclear war? You know, forget about the blast, forget about the radiation, what would happen with the smoke? And they determined that the smoke of a full-scale nuclear war would blot out, wipe out agriculture for years would be the end. Now, that's, no one's been talking about that much because Soviet Union's gone. But then a few years ago, a fellow looked at what would happen if India and Pakistan, who only have 100 nuclear weapons apiece, if they had a little nuclear war, and they saw the smoke effects as being 1 to 2 billion dead.
Wow.
And Roebuck says, well, what about Korea? If it could be confined to Korea somehow, maybe it'd be a tenth of that. Only 100 million dead. I mean, so I interviewed him, and, you know, we sort of went over that stuff, and I got in the New Haven Register. I was very pleased to do it. You know, it's one thing to get on the left sites and so on, preaching to the converted to some extent, but, you know, the Register has 60,000 readers, and then it's owned by the Hearsts, which is interesting, you know, given the background, Citizen Kane and all that, but
right.
I guess they're the left wing of the giant conglomerates these days. But I thought that was it was good to get that out to people that, you know, even if you keep this war in Korea, it's going to be all over, including the United States. It would be madness to do a Korean War.
Yeah, and the chilling thing is that during the campaign, Donald Trump talked about, we have all these nuclear weapons. How can we never use them? I mean, dumber than a five-year-old. I mean, five-year-olds are smarter than that. It's just insane. Anyway, we're approaching 10 o'clock, Stan, and I wanted to make sure for anybody who tuned in late to get information on the important event that you're sponsoring tomorrow, you and
sure.
Promoting Enduring Peace. So recap for us what's happening tomorrow evening.
Okay, tomorrow, Timothy Snyder, given the Schaefer Lecture for Promoting Enduring Peace, very impressive historian, intellectual, going to be talking about his book On Tyranny and everything that's gone on in the last year in the United States, around the world, in that regard, at 323 Temple Street. Two buildings away from the New Haven Public Library. It's Wall Street and Temple Street. And there's free parking for a limited number of cars at, I think it's 54 Wall Street. There's a lot there. And after 6 o'clock, it's free.
So that's an important event, free and open to the public. And Stanley, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on tonight and telling us about not only the event tomorrow evening, but congrats on your new book and the articles we talked about, which are torn from the front pages of our newspaper, at least some of the
some
of those newspapers.
All right, Scott. Thank you.
Take care, Stan. Good night. That's Stan Heller, Promoting Enduring Peace administrator and producer of the Struggle TV program and chair of the New Haven Middle East Crisis Committee.